issues. They talk about how you should behave, what you should do. They talk about actions. They talk about teachings. This psalm starts out, it says, the Lord. So what's he going to talk about? He's going to talk about Jesus. The last time I spoke with you, I showed you how that when the Old Testament, when it says Lord, it is most likely, I think definitely, referring to Jesus. So this psalm is not a teaching, it is a testimony. And so David says, the Lord is my light. What is light? What was the very first thing created on planet Earth? Let there be light. How important is light? Can you live without it? Can anything exist without light? It's what gives us the ability to see. It's what gives us the ability to have food because of photosynthesis. The plants need it. So everything depends upon light. And here David's testimony is, Jesus is my light. The most foundational, the most important thing that there is. And he says, and he is my salvation. How many of us try to save ourselves? How aware are you that you need something outside of yourself to make it through life? Something beyond entertainment and material things. Are you aware that you are not a self-contained unit that can handle everything that comes your way? We all depend on things. My invitation to you today is to shift the dependency. Shift it away from whatever it is that makes you happy, that you think makes you happy for the temporary little trials, and shift your dependency to Jesus. Because he is the only one that can see you through all of it. Amen? Reading on. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? There's nothing to be afraid of when you have Jesus. You don't have to worry about the future. You don't have to worry how you're going to get through. If you have light and salvation, what more do you need? It says, the Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? Has David faced hard times? Has he faced huge armies? Has he faced incredible odds? But he is not afraid because he has invested in Jesus. He says, when evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. Brothers and sisters, would you like to have that confidence today? Would you like to have no fear in your life, no matter what comes? David shows us how. The neat thing about this psalm, after this testimony, he goes on to tell us how he got that testimony, how he got that relationship. This psalm is known as the psalm that focuses more on the sanctuary than any other psalm in the Bible. And here he starts heading that direction. He says, one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary, and he will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above all my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Amen? He gloried in the sanctuary because Jesus was there. We talked about that last time, how Ellen White said that Jesus was in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Jesus is in the heavenly sanctuary now. He was in the Old Testament sanctuary then. And that's where David would go to meet with his Savior. This is how he got his testimony. He experienced life with Jesus. He would go, he would worship. He was committed. He spent time every day worshiping his God. Now, this is my favorite part of this psalm. In verse 7, he goes on. He says, hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Can you hear Jesus calling to your heart? Sometimes the clutter of the things that we think comfort us drowned out the noise, the sound of that voice that is calling to us. Do you know what I'm talking about? We get so busy with all of our electronics and gadgets, and it is tough. You know, I'm guilty sometimes. My iPhone, as soon as I hear a message beep in or out or something, or if I'm in between things, it's very easy because there's so many things to do there. But we have to make an intentional choice. How do we want to get through life? We know there will be troubles. We know there will be hard times. Do we want to depend on Seinfeld? Or House? Maybe it's okay to relax a little bit, but is that going to get you through? What foundation are you laying? What do you depend on when the chips are down? And will that thing work when times get tougher? We have testimony. Jesus saw David through amazing things. The Bible is not a code book. It's not to be broken down into all these codes and formulas and to be cracked. It is a book of testimonies. It is the testimonies of the people who have followed God with their lives. It's the stories of how they survived and what happened. It's the stories of mistakes and victories. There are people in there that we can all find someone to relate to. Read Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith. Find the people of God. See what they did. Spend time with Him daily, and especially read the Gospels. Read about Jesus and how He depended on His Father. I want to show you one more testimony as we close today. This is the testimony of one student who is here with us this morning. And we'll talk a little bit more after this, but this is a testimony of a student who's living his faith at school.
It started, I went on a mission trip, or I went to YWAM, and I saw, like, the power of God in helping people. And you see God when you tell people about Him. And I just wanted to get more of that. So I just prayed about it, like, so much. And I kind of got the sense, like, I needed to tell other people about God. And I wasn't quite sure how to do that. And then I remembered the lunch group that we had with Pastor Scott. You can just relax, just away from class, just time to think about God. And I was like, why don't I bring that to public high school? So I decided to go to public high school. It just seemed right to me. It seemed like God was telling me to. Oh, it's really funny to be a Christian on public high school, coming from a private school, coming from just your safe little bubble and going out into the open. I felt sheltered, and then just like, bam, whoa. I haven't really gotten like made fun of for it, but I don't cuss, and everybody cusses there. So I get a lot of attention for that. I kind of like it, because kids think they're gonna be cool because they cuss, but really they're just like trying to fit in. It's strengthened my walk with God. Like, before I just felt like I was just going with the motions, like no struggle, nothing was hard in my life, and it's brought me closer to God, and it's helped me to rely on Him more, ask Him more, and talk to Him more. Every night I take a verse from the Bible, just kind of read it, dissect it, just a little verse, dissect it into like 100 different ways, and then I just close my eyes and talk to God, just like a friend, just like, hey, how was your day? It was good. That girl was pretty. She talked to me today. But I was kind of scared. Can you help me with that? Help me get the strength to talk to her. I just do simple stuff like that, and then I go in deep prayer. To me, living my faith on campus is just to do everything with the question, what would Jesus do? I think that's one of the biggest witnesses, just to see, just for people to see you doing things that other people wouldn't, just to like take that shopping cart back or to pick that girl's books up and just to do things that Jesus would do. Having the Christian club has helped me witness, because I can bring my friends to it, and it's just not like telling them to repent or like scaring them off. It's, you tell them there's free hot chocolate, and that kind of lures them in or something. And then in the club they talk about love and forgiveness, and I think that really talks to their heart. I brought my friend 2 weeks ago and we had a good time, and then last week I brought another friend, and that friend brought three other friends. So I think pretty soon there's just going to be like a snowball effect, a whole bunch of people like on fire for God. What I'd like to see happen on my campus is just for Christianity to become cool and like for everybody to be on fire for God. I want to see Christianity not as something that kind of the underdogs do, but just like everybody to love God and to be nice to each other.
Amen. Dylan, please stand up. I think it's so important to share our testimonies. And this resource center, it's going to be a website. It's got some funding, but it needs more. If you would like to put the English Oaks Church name on there as helping to sponsor this, I've been talking to organizations like ASI and VersaCare, and it's becoming a movement that God is creating, because I don't really know what I'm doing except following Jesus. I just got another email this morning from the Associate Youth Director of Southeastern California Conference. He says, we want to be in piloting in this and on the ground floor, and we have people who want to join. And God is just opening the doors. I've been talking about high school ministry for years to the youth pastors in our conference, and maybe one or two will dabble here and there. This year, January, our pastors' meetings are suddenly all doing it or wanting to. God is saying the time is now. Because if we don't start learning to live our faith at a young age, when will we ever get it? We need to start. I believe God is calling a generation to rise up. And that generation needs mentors. They need support. We need to understand Scripture. We need to understand that the prophecies in Revelation 4 dealing with Laodicea are for our time. In the time of the people who are martyred, burned at the stake, that was a very cold time. So it was easier to stand up for what you believe, because the world around them was so wicked, they could take a stand. And in the beginning of our church, in Ellen White's time, it was a time known as the Great Revival in America. Everybody was on fire for Jesus, and so it was easy to stand when everybody was on fire. But we live in the time of Laodicea. There's no cold persecution. There's no fire burning on every street corner. It's lukewarm. Our toys seem to satisfy us because there's nothing going on. My invitation to you today is to shift your dependency. The things of the world will only last a little while. The three angels tell us about that. This time is going to end soon. I pray that you will invest in Jesus. Become dependent on Him. Enter into a thriving relationship with Him. Because that alone can see you through the end of this world and into His kingdom. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Dylan's testimony and the testimonies of other kids at school. I thank you for the testimonies and the people that are sitting here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would remind us of our experiences with you and the mighty ways that you've worked and the times when we have been close to you and we've felt your presence and we've felt victories because of that. Lord, remind us of our baptisms and the time we took a stand for you. Lord, bring us into small group fellowships, into the places we need to be where we can gather strength to be the witnesses to the world that you would have us to be. Please bless us and send us forth as your witnesses is my prayer in Jesus' name.